Morning, everybody. You know, it's interesting. Fear and faith are actually opposing forces to each other. They can't even occupy the same space. And so when we talk about the life of faith, it's something that I think all of us just need to be encouraged with, that when we're walking in faith, we don't have to walk in fear. I'm thankful for what the Lord said to us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. He says this, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. God's not given us a spirit of fear. Well, then what kind of spirit did God give us? Well, he gave us a spirit of faith. How is the spirit of faith then defined? Well, it's defined right here by power, love, and a sound mind. Aren't you glad we can walk in God's power? Don't have to walk in fear. You can have walk in love, and you can have a sound mind with it. This morning, I'm going to continue a series that we started last week called The Tunnel. We're talking about how to deal with difficult situations. And really, the genesis of this particular series has just been my own observation of many of you who have recently gone through some really difficult things in life. And I've watched your faith. And to be honest, your faith has encouraged me. And I hope that this series, as we continue it on, that the series encourages you, whether or not today you're in a tunnel. You say, what's tunnel about? I wasn't here last week. What's the series about? It's just dealing with the difficult situations of life. You know, that idea that it started, could be called a lot of different things, storms, tough times, you know, whatever you might want to say. But really, I was thinking about that expression, there's light at the end of the tunnel. And so the idea that when we go through difficult times, the confidence that we can have in God is what gets us to the other side. So again, whether or not you're right in the middle of something right this instant, which many of you are, but there is a situation that maybe is coming to you, coming your way. Well, I just want to give you some ammunition on how to deal with it. And so if we're going to put a title on today's message, it would be simply this, faith in, faith out. Faith in and faith out. And that'll make a lot more sense as we continue on with the message today. You know, we can really build our lives upon our relationship with the Lord. It's something I love. I love the Lord. I love his word. I love living by faith. I don't just like it. I love it. I love the fact that you and I have inside information on life. We have a relationship with the Creator. We're not wondering. We're not walking through life uninformed. We have peace. We have confidence in God. We can go through life knowing a couple of things. Number one, God is good and is good all the time. He's on our side. If God is for us, who can be against us? God is with us. He's for us. He's with us. He's on our side. There's a confidence that can come in whatever we face in life because of our relationship with him. But even with all that said, there are going to be situations where we go through some tough times, go through some tunnels in life. So the text, sort of our text for this series, is found in Psalm 34 and verse 19. Here's what it says, because it's not very encouraging, frankly, at the beginning. Here's what it says. Many, everybody say many, are the afflictions of the righteous. But here's the good part. The Lord delivers them out of them all. Now you say, okay, why, if the Lord has the power to deliver us from all afflictions, doesn't he have the power to remove all afflictions from us? In other words, shouldn't life just be easy? Do we have to ever go through tough times? Well, the answer is, I don't know why it's the way it is. It's just the way it is because we live in a fallen world and bad things happen to great people. Just, it's the fact of life. It's the way it is. But with that, we know that we have help from God. He says in his word, he's a very present help in times of trouble. So when we go through difficult seasons, we don't run from God. We don't question God. We run to him for all the answers because he's good. Somebody say amen to that. So that's what the life of faith is. And so if you're here today and you're just trying to figure out if If God fits in your life any place, I'm telling you, he is. He does. He fits everywhere in your life. He's on your side, and he's so thankful you're here today, because at the end of today's message, I'm going to give you an invitation to ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, to surrender your life from him. The Bible calls that repenting. It sounds like a real tough religious word. Really, all it means is turning from your ways and your explanations of life to his way and his way of life. And so, again, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. How does he deliver? When we're in faith, when we walk by faith. Romans 1:17 says this, "This good news," that's the gospel, "tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished," I love this, "from start to finish." From start to finish. It means every step of our life of faith, every step of our life from this day forward, from start to finish, it's accomplished this way, as the scripture says, it's through faith that a righteous person has life. Through faith, what we believe and how we apply it to our lives. And so, again, last week we looked at Hebrews chapter 13. If you would, just turn there with me, and we'll pick up where we left off with this amazing promise from God. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. "For God has said, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me?" I love this. Now, I want you not to miss this, okay? Because here's what verse 5 says. 5 says, "For God said," verse 6, "so we can say." "For God said, so we can say." This is crucial to the life of faith. Faith begins where the will of God is known. His word is his will. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God has said, therefore we can say. Did you see that? It's important. In other words, we don't say things outside of what God says. We just align ourselves. What does God say? What does God say? And then we take what God says and put it in our mouths. Here's what's important in life. It's not so much what grandma said, what your parents said, what that teacher said, what your friend said, what your spouse said. What matters is what God said. And really what matters is what you say about what God said. Because when you say what God says, you can see change happen in your life, and you can walk through the difficulties of life. See, our faith is always a response to God. Always a response to God. Our faith is built upon his word. "For God has said, therefore we can say." Again, faith comes by how? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we talk about the life of faith, it's not just having a positive attitude. Well, I go to church because they're just friendly people and they're just kind and, you know, that kind of thing. Well, yeah, we're nice people and yeah, we have positive attitudes, but that's not faith. Faith is taking God at his word, listening to what he says, letting faith develop within us, and putting faith in our, and living by faith. So with this verse of Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Here's your question. Is that meant for us? And so I think what's important in any good Bible interpretation, when we were students in Bible school, that they taught us, always look at the context of what something says. In other words, don't take scripture out of context. What's the context with this? So the context then is taking the scriptures that you just read, and then you read a little bit beforehand, and then you read a little bit after. That's the simplest way to put a scripture into context. Does that make sense? In other words, I don't just take the scripture, take it out of its context. I look at the scripture, and I look before, and then I look after. So let's do that, all right? Let's take this verse in Hebrews 13, and let's look a little bit beforehand. To do that the best, it probably would be good to back up a little bit into chapter 12, and we're going to start reading in verse 28, Hebrews 12 and 28. Listen to what it says. This is awesome. This is awesome. Turn to your neighbor and say, "This is really awesome." Say, "Get ready. I'm promising you, this is good. You're going to love this." At least I'm going to love sharing it with you. Okay, since we are receiving, everybody say receiving, a kingdom that is unshakable. Okay, this is the context in which we're going to read these verses that God is with us. He won't forsake us, okay? So we are receiving. Everybody say receiving. It's a Greek word, paralambano. Say that with me, paralambano. Say it. Awesome. Now you can tell your friends, yeah, we were talking a little Greek at church. Studying the old Greek languages. Why is that important? Here's what that word means. The word is a powerful word. Para means to come near. Like the Holy Spirit is called in Greek paraclete. He's the one who comes alongside to help. So para means near. Lambano means to take or to grasp, to make one's own. Meaning, when we talk about building your life upon the kingdom of God, we're talking about making it your own, coming close to it, making it real to you. That's why coming to church is not an option. Man, coming to church is part of who we are because we're always growing, developing in our faith so that we can walk through difficult times in life and the great times of life. We do it by faith. The just shall walk by faith, all right? We walk by faith. We live by faith. So we're receiving a kingdom. Now, what's that kingdom all about? A kingdom, it says, that is unshakable. Here's what we know about life. There's a lot of things in life that'll shake you. Everything. In fact, everything in your life is subject to being shaken. Isn't that true? Every part of your life can be shaken. But God's kingdom, as we get God's kingdom in us, when we begin to frame our life around the kingdom of God, God's kingdom won't be shaken. In other words, what I'm saying is, now listen, life around you can be shaken and you can be steady in God. Why? Because we built our life on the rock. And then let me keep reading. Let us then be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe, for our God is a devouring fire. Now that phrase there, let us be thankful, in the Greek language, it literally says this. Let us keep holding on to God's grace. What does that mean for us? Well, it means when we're building our life on the kingdom of God and when things start to be shaken and the world around you starts shaking, what do we grab onto? What's the handles we hold on to when something starts shaking? Well, according to Scripture, we hang on to God's grace. What is that? God's ability working in us and through us for us. This is just absolutely awesome. What it does is it brings stability to you, and it brings stability to those around you. Like I say, we're here, and we're here together to encourage each other in our faith. That's why we gather together. That's why we're here, to encourage each other as we live through this. And so when things are going crazy around you, what do? We grab on to God's grace, and we hold on. Let's keep reading. Now we're back to chapter 13, verse 1. So keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Remember also those who are being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. What's he talking about? He's just talking about life. He's talking about having compassion, about having empathy with those who are going through things. He's just walking through life together, building ourselves on the kingdom that is unshakable. Verse 4, give honor in marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. It's not our place to judge. It's not our place to judge somebody else's lifestyle or what they're doing. What do? We honor what God wants. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. Now here's where it says, for God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence. One translation says boldly, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Now, verse 7, we'll keep reading. Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives. Now, listen to this. And follow the example of their faith. Jesus Christ, this is the key, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why do we love faith so much? Because it's the same. We having the same spirit of faith as those of old. It's the same spirit. It's taking God at his word. It's believing it. It's building our lives upon God's word, knowing that we can be an example to one another of what the life of faith looks like. That's why I think one of the reasons that we have difficulties in life is it's a testimony of God's goodness to us as we navigate through it. That people without a foundation in God, whose lives are shaken, look to you and say, how is it you can be so calm and be in such peace? Well, it's simple. You have a relationship with the Prince of Peace, the one who's overcome the world. So, with that in mind, whenever I read something like God has said, I always ask the question, where did God say that? And who did he say it to? Right? So if God has said, then where did he say it and who did he say it to? So look over at Deuteronomy with me in the Old Testament, because this is where we read where it's quoted here in Hebrews 13. It's actually from Deuteronomy 31. So Deuteronomy 31 is the story of the children of Israel at the end of their 40 years in the wilderness on their way to the promised land. And we're going to pick up the story with Moses. Here's what it says. When Moses had finished giving instructions, he had told the children of Israel it was time for them to enter into the promised land. After all this time wasted in the wilderness, after giving these instructions to all the people of Israel, he said, I am now 120 years old. I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has told me you will not cross the river Jordan. But the Lord, your God himself, will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy the nations living there, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua will lead you across the river, just as the Lord has promised. Now, let me just pause there for a moment. Joshua, the Bible tells us, was Moses' servant. He was his right-hand man. He was his caretaker. He assisted Moses and has been assisting Moses for at least 40 years. Since they left Egypt on the way to Israel throughout their time in the promised land, Joshua was with Moses as his assistant. Joshua was one of the 12 spies who entered into the promised land and came back with a report of what was possible. Remember that story? 10 spies came back and said, we're not able. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, no, we're well able to take the land. Joshua was that guy. He is Moses' helper. Now, Moses has just declared to the children of Israel, he's not going to lead them over, but Joshua is. Now, verse 4. The Lord will destroy the nations living in the land. The Lord will hand over to you the people who live there. You must deal with them as I have commanded you. Now, listen to this. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Does that sound familiar? Well, certainly. We just read that quoted in Hebrews chapter 13 in the New Testament. Look at verse 7. Then Moses called for Joshua. And as all Israel watched, he said to him, you ready? Be strong and courageous. For you will lead these people into the land the Lord has sworn to their ancestors he would give them. You are the one who will divide it among them as their grants of land. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail nor abandon you. So I want you to see this. Joshua was standing there listening to Moses giving this speech, declaring how God would go before them. He would not fail them. He would not abandon them. And then Moses calls Joshua up, and then he speaks directly to Joshua. Why did he do both of those things? Well, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing and hearing. What does that mean to us? Well, the first time you hear God will never leave you nor forsake you, you may not believe it. You may have to hear it a few times. Joshua had to hear it a couple times. He was made for this. He was positioned for this. In fact, if you want to go back a little further in the Old Testament to Numbers, in Numbers 27, it says this in verse 15, then Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, you are the God who gives breath to all creatures. Appoint a new man as leader for the community. Give them someone who will guide them wherever they go and lead them into battle so the community of the Lord will not be like a sheep without a shepherd. Verse 22, so Moses did as the Lord commanded and presented Joshua to Eleazar the priest and the whole community. In other words, this is not the first time Joshua heard that he was going to be the leader of the children of Israel. But how was he going to lead them? By faith. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why it's so important when we deal with all issues of life that we build our lives just as Jesus said, and we mentioned it last week, when Jesus said there's these two guys who both hear the word, one hears it and puts it into practice, and when the storm comes, nothing fails because he's built himself on the rock. But the one who heard the word didn't believe it. When that storm came, his house was built on sand, and great was its fall. So what are we reading all this? We read simply that Joshua was going to lead the children of Israel over to the promised land, over the River Jordan. He was going to do it how? By faith. Not some different kind of faith, but the faith that you and I can live our lives by. I just am so encouraged by that. So with all that said, that was the introduction. Go over to Joshua 1. Let's see how he did it. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. Now, remember, Moses first spoke about the Lord's help to all of Israel. Then he turned to Joshua and he spoke of the Lord's help and how Joshua would lead them with the Lord's help to Joshua directly. That was God speaking to and through Moses to Joshua. Now God's talking straight to Joshua and he tells him, Moses, my servant is dead. It's now time for you to lead. Now, what's the tunnel here? Well, there's a lot of layers of tunnel here in this. First of all, Joshua and Moses had a 40-year relationship together, and he died. He lost a friend. He lost a companion. He lost somebody that he looked up to, that he learned from. Just on a personal level, it was difficult. And in light reading of this, you think God says to Joshua, Joshua, Moses died, now take care of business. And isn't that the way sometimes we deal with hurt and with grief and with tunnels? We just want to get out of the tunnel. Get out of the tunnel, quick. Get out of there. Well, wait a minute. Is that what happened here? Is that what we're to learn from this? Well, back up again. Look, you're there in Joshua 1. Just turn to the left in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Look at this verse, Deuteronomy 34 and verse 8. It says, the people of Israel mourned for Moses on the plains of Moab for 30 days, as was customary. So what's he saying? You know what? When you're in a tunnel, sometimes you just got to process what just happened to you. I'm hurting. It hurts in this tunnel. I'm grieving. I'm dealing with this issue of my friend. Now, on top of that, I've got to lead this group of people who grew up in the wilderness. This is all they know. And now I got to introduce change. I got to bring them to the River Jordan, and we've got to go take the land. The task that Joshua was facing was daunting. But with God, all things are possible. with God's help, he can do it. Have you ever faced something that just seemed daunting, insurmountable? Well, sure, all of us have at times. So what do you got to do in the tunnel? You've got to take some time and figure out, well, we're going to get into this next week, because next week's message is going to be, the title I think is going to be, How'd I Get Here? How'd I Get Here? Because we find ourselves in tunnels sometimes for a lot of different reasons, but how'd I get here? But come back next week for that. So Joshua had to process what has just happened to him with all these layers of emotion. And then he had to figure out, what's the new normal? What's the new normal? Because there's got to be a new normal after this time of grief and this time of mourning. What's life going to look like? In other words, you have to deal with it, not just spiritually, but emotionally as well. Does that make sense? And that's why it's important, I think, for us as people of faith, to give time, give room to people who have suffered a loss, to process it, to mourn, to grieve a little bit. I'm so thankful that, as many of you know, that when Beth's mom, who was very close to us as a family and as a church, when she went to be with the Lord, we had scheduled some time away 6 months ago. Right after that, it just turned out that we had a chance to disconnect and to get out of town. And so fortunately, I was able to add just even a couple of extra days just to spend time away, to reflect, to process a loss, which I finally figured out after 61 years that that's important, because I've done it all wrong all these years. Was preaching Saturday night back in our Romance building years ago. We were doing two services on Saturday, two services on Sunday. The church is growing. Things are going crazy. We're just busy, 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 all sorts of things happening. And I get a phone call Saturday night driving home that my mom died. My mom died. Go home, tell my wife, what are you going to do? Well, I got to preach tomorrow. I got to preach. So I'm not going to say anything tomorrow. I'll let them know later in the week that what happened, because I just can't open up that door to the emotion of it. I'm just going to lock it up. I'm going to put it away. And so we just did. We fought through it in a really unhealthy way. How many know you get scars in life? There are some people in here with some scars. We put some makeup on it. We cover them up, but we got some scars, don't we? Didn't deal with it. Didn't deal with my dad dying. Didn't deal with my sister dying. Then my two brothers died. My whole family died. That's a tunnel. I wish I would have taken some time to mourn better. And then figure out how to do life. Does this make sense? I'm not asking you to feel sorry for me, because we all got stuff. We could go through. We all got stuff. But here's where God's grace you hold on to. I did sense through all of it God's grace. In the midst of the tunnel, God's help was there. His comfort was there. His mercy was there. So Joshua, here he is. He's having to deal with all sorts of stuff. But what does God say? Look at verse 3 of Joshua 1. I promise you what I promised Moses. I stand right here before God, and I make this claim to you. What God promised Moses and what God promised Joshua, as God is my witness, he promises you. God is a good God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not a respecter of persons. what he promised Moses, he promised Joshua, and he promises you. He says this, wherever you set your foot, you will be on land I have given you, from the Negev wilderness to the south of Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River to the east of the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. Now here's where it's important for you to see, verse 5. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Here we see it again. Over and over and over, God's reminding us that he will not fail us or abandon us. So what's our job? Well, it's simple. Be strong and courageous in what you believe. For you are the one who will lead these people to possess the land I swore to their ancestors I would give you. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Now here's where we want to get to. Verse 8. This is what it comes down to. You ready for this? Study this book. How do you get through tunnels of life? How do you get through difficult times? Study this book. Just when I'm in the tunnel? No. Study this book all the time. So study this book of instructions continually. Meditate. Now the word meditate, sometimes it's interesting. Sometimes we think of transcendental meditation. That's where you disconnect from your being. But to meditate scripturally, it really is the word to mutter or to say to yourself over and over again. In other words, get the word of God in your mouth. Meditate on it when? Day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you can do. So what are some lessons from this? And we'll close with just a couple thoughts. One, you're never too old to grow your faith. You're never too old. And you're never too young to grow your faith. Why? Because faith in God's word is available to all of us. If we can hear it, if we can believe it, we can do it. James 2 warns us that faith without works is dead. It's not applicable. It's with faith without corresponding actions doesn't work. In other words, what do? We believe what God's word says, and then we act upon it. Remember, faith in, faith out. I'm in faith even when I go into a tunnel, and it's by faith I'm going to get out of that tunnel. Hebrews 4, this is interesting. In Hebrews 4, it's talking about the children of Israel. It says they'd heard the promise of God. God told them they could enter into this promised land. They heard it, but it says this, listen to this. It says they did not mix what they heard with faith. In other words, they heard it, but they didn't believe it. They heard it, but they didn't believe it. What do you believe? Not so much what you hear, but what do you believe? Because our faith is not dependent on circumstances. Our faith is dependent upon the word. In other words, walking on water, remember the miracle of Peter walking on the water when Jesus said, come out the boat, walk on water. The walking of water is just as impossible to walk on calm seas as it is to walk on stormy seas. It's not based on circumstances. Our faith is based upon the word. The word is truth, whether or not you believe it or not. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's true. But is it true to you? When you believe it, he doesn't become the way, the truth, the life. He becomes your way, your truth, and your life when you believe it. Believe it. So why? What about these tunnel things should we be appreciative of or thankful for? Well, listen to this. Psalm 119, verse 71. My suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees. What's the psalmist saying? He's saying, listen, when I've gone through some tough times, it just brought me back to the word. When I went through difficulties, it brought me back to the word. So, How do you deal with tough things? You deal with them by faith. Confident that God is working in us and helping us, growing us, and developing us. James chapter 1, I'll close with this. Verse 2 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Nobody in their natural mind would celebrate tough times. Oh, great joy. But here's how we can do it. "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete." Now, you ready for this? Circle this if you have a Bible with you. "Needing nothing." Remember last week we talked about Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need." When you have God, when you have his word, when you have his promise, you have all you need to face anything in life. And aren't you glad? God is good, and he's good all the time, and he'll never leave you, and he'll never forsake you.